One of the hardest things about having an anxious attachment style isn't the fear of losing the relationship. It's how fast your brain decides the relationship is already in danger. Often there's no conflict, no clear rupture, no evidence that anything is actually wrong. Just a subtle shift, slightly less responsiveness, a change in rhythm, a little more space, and suddenly, your nervous system is asking an urgent question. Do I fix this now, or do I risk losing them forever? Hey, I'm Dr. Regina, PhD, and this is Divergent Paths, the podcast where we talk about what late-diagnosed neurodivergent folks actually experience and how to work with your brain instead of fighting against it. I also have a weekly newsletter, Nerd Notes, where I share more insights and tools to help you make your weirdness feel like home. The link to sign up is in the show description. Today, I want to talk about how anxious attachment tendencies show up for neurodivergent folks in their friendships. There's a lot of talk about attachment styles and romantic relationships, but the same pitfalls show up in our platonic relationships as well. One of the things in just our society in general is there is a priority given to romantic relationships. They are supposed to be the stabilizing force in your life. They're supposed to be the most important people. They're supposed to meet all of your needs, which, as many of us know, is pretty much impossible. No one person can meet all of your needs for connection. But we do have this priority. So we don't often think about friendships in the same psychological terms as we think about romantic relationships. Friendships can, in general, feel more destabilizing than romantic relationships because of the priority that they have been given. We have scripts, we have ideas for progression, we have ideas for how you work through things with our romantic relationships. We don't have the same for our friendships. There are fewer rules, there's less explicit reassurance, there's more ambiguity around closeness and proximity. We just don't have a lot of, like, this is what a friendship is in the way that we approach relationships and life. A lot of times, this is where we will see those sensations of feeling like you're too much or you're overreaching or is this person drifting away. You might feel that more acutely with your friendships because you don't have the romantic reassurances that we tend to assume a certain level of connection with. One of the things we really want to think about with anxious attachment is it's not being needy. Having an anxious attachment isn't being needy. You are looking for safety and connection. That's what you want. And having a nervous system that was trained to feel like that was inconsistent means you're going to be seeking it and seeking reassurance around it more than you might if you had a more secure attachment. One of the things that can happen for neurodivergent folks is hyperfocus can turn friendships into a primary source of dopamine, a regulation anchor, and a sense of emotional stability. Because we're constantly looking and looking and looking for different things, and we're looking for novelty and we're looking for new things, friendships can be the places where we seek out a lot of these different things. This ends up getting a little tricky because one of the things we can end up doing is allowing that relationship or wanting that friendship to carry more weight than it was really designed to hold. When you get hyper-focused on somebody, you want to tell them all the exciting things in your life and you want to tell them about all the awful things that are going on in your life immediately upon when they happen. I am saying this from a place of deep earnestness. This is 100% how I function in my friendships. When I have a new friendship and when they have that same level of excitement or engagement, there's usually a lot of reciprocal texting. There's a lot of messages. There's a lot of, yay, I can't wait to see you going on, or, you know, planning fun things to do. Any shift away from kind of that high level communication feels like a threat. And my nervous system wants to interpret that immediately as distance and distance as danger. That's not always what's happening. That's not always reality. But man, my brain really wants it to be a lot of the time. I want you to think that hyperfocus really isn't the problem here. The problem is when we do focus, hyperfocus on like one person and they become your nervous system's only place that feels regulated. Everybody needs more than one connection. We need more than one person to connect to. That's just how our brains work, not just as neurodivergent, but as humans. We need more than one person. Keep in mind that you do need to have more than one connection and one person that you share all those things with in your life. So when you start to feel this distance sort of coming from this one person you have put a lot of these connection demands on, when you start spiraling because you're feeling like they're pulling away from you, your pattern recognition has flared and has seen micro expressions, or they put a period at the end of their text message, so they must be angry with me, et cetera, et cetera. In that moment, name what's happening. So this isn't intuition. This isn't clarity. This isn't you seeing something that isn't here. You are responding to a threat response that your nervous system is screaming at you, is the thing that is in danger. You're in danger. Your connection's in danger, etc. This is where I want you to practice the power of the pause. The pause is not you suppressing your feelings. The pause is not you telling yourself you aren't worthy of connection, or that that person hates you or doesn't love you or doesn't like you anymore and doesn't want to be your friend. That is not what the pause is about. The pause is creating space between the fear reaction you're having and the action you take, which, if you're me, is most likely sending a panicked text message about how much they mean to you and you're sorry if they have done anything to hurt you. Because it's likely that I haven't done that, but I do think that I have. Here is three steps to take as you practice the power of the pause. So stop the action. Don't send the text message. Set your phone down. Set a timer if you need to. Tell yourself you're not going to touch your phone for 10 minutes. Turn your notifications off so you're not tempted to pick it back up. And move away. Move away from the implement of communication. Then the second step is to name the fear. So name the sensation, find it in your body. Is your heart racing? Is your stomach feeling like it's dropped out? Are you feeling a little nauseated? Are your shoulders tense? Like, where is the fear in your body? And then give it a name. What is the fear that you're feeling? Are you afraid of being forgotten? Are you afraid that they have misjudged you? Are you afraid that they're going to abandon you? Take the time, find it in your body and name it. And then thirdly, redirect towards something that helps you regulate your nervous system. Get up and move, go for a walk, write in your journal, not a text to them. Unless it's a text you're not going to send. You can write practice texts. I do have quite a few documents on my Google Drive of texts that I wrote that I never sent. Go out, walk in the grass barefoot if you are in a climate that allows you to do that at this time of year. Do some grounding. Drink a glass of water. Always a good one. Drink a glass of water. Let it sit. This isn't really about you controlling yourself. It's about allowing the fear response time to catch up with what's really happening. And that process of going through taking the pause, finding the feeling in your body, naming it, and then re-regulating your nervous system afterward, those steps together are the things that will help you protect your friendship from unintentional pressure that you don't want to put on that relationship. It protects you from the shame you might feel spiraling into and reacting in a way that is not in alignment with how you feel about the relationship. And it helps you respond from a choice instead of a reaction to your fear. This is what the pause helps you do. The power of the pause allows you to practice compassion for yourself and for the people in your life. Please don't beat up on yourself if even after the pause, you are still activated enough that you send the message, that's okay. If you make the call, whatever it is that you do, don't beat yourself up over not being perfect. We're not about perfection here. We're about finding ways to step into different ways of doing things that will help you see yourself as the amazing neurodivergent person that you are, which is probably what all of your friends see in you anyway. If we're being honest, right? For the thoughts I want to close on with this episode, if you lean toward an anxious attachment style and you see this show up in your friendships, I want you to hear this from me. Wanting closeness doesn't make you needy. Wanting reassurance doesn't mean you're broken. You're not needy. You're not broken. This isn't about wanting less connection. It's about learning how to stay regulated while you wait for it and while you give space to that connection. The power of the pause gives you that space to lean into. And if you don't know, things don't grow without space around them. You really need a little space and a little breathing room in order to grow. Every time you choose the pause, even if you don't do it perfectly, you're building that sense of safety and that sense of self-trust inside yourself that you can then apply in all of your relationships, whatever kind they might take. You're allowed to want that connection and to protect your nervous system. Both of those things can be true. If you would like to talk to me about the power of the pause and how you can apply it in your life, book a free 30-minute clarity call where we can see what's showing up as anxious for you. The link is in the show description. The power of the pause is choosing regulation over reassurance and trusting that real connection can grow and survive in that space.